Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
We are in our Wonder Life series. This is about week five of our Wonder Life series, in which we've been just discussing here at Canvas Church the idea that God has an incredible plan for each and every one of our lives. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that. I believe God has an incredible plan for each and every one of you. John 10:10 tells us that he's come to give us life and that we might have that life more abundantly. And so we've been doing this series, Wonder Life, and just discussing the abundant life that God has for us and really tackling some ideas of what could keep us from obtaining that abundant life and maybe some tools to help us live in that abundant life. Really, what we're doing was we're tackling the age-old questions and they're this: who am I? And why am I here, right? And I see all of the junior hires patiently waiting to be dismissed. So go ahead, junior hires, because I know you're sitting there like, hey, hold on, who am I and why am I sitting in this service? I want to go to my class. All right, good for you. Don't want to hear your pastor preach, all right. Just kidding. Who am I and why am I here? And so in order to help answer these questions and through the Wonder Life series, we've been looking at these things that we're calling life marks. And I just want to review some of these real quickly, catch us up. If you want at any time to go back and watch them, they're available, podcast them. They're available on our app as well. But here's the one that we started off with. Life mark number one is, I believe my story matters. I believe my story matters. What are we talking about? We're talking about our life. I believe my life matters. I believe it has significance. And when you get to that place that I believe that what's going on in my life matters, that my story matters, that my life matters, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it, it'll come together and it'll paint a picture of God's grace. I believe my story matters. That is like the starting point of helping us answer this question of who we are and why we are here. And then week two, we talked about I am unashamed of what I love and care about. And this was a really interesting one to me as we begin to tackle it. What we're talking about is that the things that you love to do, the interests that you have, those things that excite you, that is God's calling. He is using those things to express his love and his grace and his power through you. And so when you are walking in the things that you love, the things that you care about, those interests, God made you that way. And he made you that way to express ultimately who he is. And so that is your calling. And so we care about the things that we love. And then we kind of took a break last week from walking through the curriculum that we're doing in all of our small groups, the Wonder Life book. And we just began to address some things that are happening in our nation, some things that are happening in our world right now. And we talked about our response and our position in times of crisis and uncertainty. But I felt like this fit so in with our series, our Wonder Life series, because it's really when we're walking through those moments of crisis and those moments of uncertainty that these questions, who am I and where do I fit in, really begin to carry more weight sometimes. And that we really begin to reflect what's happening around us and what's going on in our world. And we really begin to think, what's my part? What's my position? Where do I fit in with this whole thing? Well, today, I want to tackle this one, this other life mark. I am honest about my obstacles and opportunities. I am honest about my obstacles and my opportunities, because as we journey through this life, we are going to have obstacles that we face. We're going to have things that we overcome. And not only that, we're going to have obstacles that literally begin to show us something we cannot be and maybe steer us in another direction. And we're going to talk about that, and that's okay. But then we're also going to look at our opportunities. What are some opportunities that are in front of us so that God's grace can shine through us? And as we get into today's, I just want to be clear on what this message is and what these messages are not. These messages have not been some self-help guide that if you take these three principles that we talk about today, that man, life will be grand and everything will be perfect, right? Now, the honest truth about this, we love those types of messages. We love those types of messages that we come in and, man, I got these three things and I walk out feeling all fuzzy and warm inside, right? Like, we love those messages and whatnot, but the reality is that's just not true. It's not the way it works. It's not the way spirituality works. It's not the way our journey works. And so what we've been doing, rather than giving you these points that, hey, if you do this, everything's going to be great, we understand that this journey in our life is like a big puzzle and that we're just trying to take all of these pieces all around and try to get them into the right spot. And so what we've been doing over the last couple weeks, hopefully, is just giving you big ideas or tools that you can use to help put those puzzle pieces by his grace into the right place. And that when you get done and you're able to step back, you'll say, wow, God, you took the good, the bad, and the ugly in my life, and you painted a masterpiece. And so that's what we're doing through this series, is just taking these ideas, these tools, if you will, to hopefully help you just get to that place of just assurance and security that, okay, I'm walking in the right direction. Because here's one thing I've learned, is that, and we value it here at Canvas Church, and that is this word called fun. Does anybody like to have fun? All right, some of you don't. We like to have fun in church. I'm all about fun. And one of our core values here at Canvas Church is fun. And we put it this way, we want to enjoy the journey. We want to enjoy the process. We want to enjoy the journey we're in. So in other words, we understand that life is not ultimately about a destination, but it's a process. That this thing is a process. And the sooner we get to the place of just enjoying the process rather than the hello music stand, we get that point of enjoying the process rather than just the product. Okay, let me just kind of paint it to you this way. How many of you guys remember when you were little going to a toy store? Four of you. How many of you guys remember when you were little? How many of you guys have a memory? All right. I remember going to the toy store when I was little, and one of the things I loved was Legos. Come on, any dudes in here love Legos? Girls too. Any girls here, you love Legos? All right, okay. I love Legos. Now, they didn't have the Lego store when I was growing up, so you go to Toys R Us. And you go into Toys R Us and you go to grab, you know, the Lego. But here's the thing. The Lego section, on the box, you have the finished product, right? The picture. And you walk by and you're like, I want that. That is awesome. Like, Mom, I want that because I'm going to build that. And they're like, okay. And so they get it for you. And you get home and all of a sudden you open up the box and there's like thousands of pieces. And it looks nothing like the picture on the box, right? And you try to build what's on the box, but let's be honest. You have about 175 pieces left over and it still looks nothing like on the box, right? We are so infatuated in our society with the finished product that we negate or neglect the process. But life is not about a finished product. It's about a process. And so I believe that if we take these tools that we've been learning over the last couple weeks and we apply them to our life, that man will begin to enjoy the process, embrace the process, and ultimately one day when Jesus returns, come on somebody, be what he wants us to be. And so we're going to look this morning at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 19 through 19 as we unpack this idea of I'm honest about my obstacles and my opportunities. Ephesians is a New Testament book, Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 19. Let me just kind of set up Ephesians for you real quick because I believe it plays into the overall picture of what we're talking about. This was originally a letter written to the church at Ephesus, and it was written by a guy named Paul. Now, that is so important because Paul is, you know, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But when you begin to look at where he wrote some of these letters from and some of what we read from, he was writing this particular one from prison. So talk about a guy that could take any circumstance and any situation and flip it for the good or the positive. Pretty incredible. Like he's sitting around in prison like, what am I going to do? I'll encourage the church, right? And so he writes a letter to the church at Ephesus. This is a church that he helped commission and helped get going. And he gets word back about how the church is doing. And he writes specifically to the church at Ephesus from prison. And he writes them and to remind them of how to be fruitful followers of Jesus Christ in a time of uncertainty and a time of persecution, okay? And so here's Paul in prison, talk about uncertainty and persecution. He's writing to the church at Ephesus who is experiencing uncertainty and persecution. Maybe even some of the believers in this scene, like how do I function in this society and how do I get along with these people and how do... Maybe even some of them are at this place of who am I and why am I here? And so Paul begins to write them to encourage them and to begin to teach them and instruct them how they can be fruitful in this season that they are living in. So with that, Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, Paul writes, "This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, that your love for all the saints, I never stopped giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers." Verse 17, "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Okay? So he understands, guys, I know there's some uncertain times. I know there's some stuff going on. And I know maybe you're not grasping it all. But I'm praying for you. And now I'm writing this to you. Verse 18. And I pray that the perception of your mind or the eyes of your life may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Think about that for a moment. I know there's some uncertainty. I know there's some difficulty. I know you're facing some stuff. But here's what I'm doing, church. As I'm in prison, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I know there's some stuff going on. And I want you to know, this is what I'm praying, that your eyes would be opened up so that you can understand, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. You'll understand what you're to do in this situation, how you're to live, who you're to be. What are the goodness or the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his vast strength? Isn't that a powerful scripture? Paul is writing, guys. I want you to be enlightened. I want your eyes to be opened up so you know the hope of his calling. He's got you. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. You just need to have your eyes enlightened so that you can know what it is. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is amazing. I pray that in the next few moments that we have together, God, you would communicate something powerful to us and that we'd be able to take these tools, apply them to our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Growing up, like so many of you, I had some heroes in my life. Now, I had some natural heroes. I had my dad who, man, has always been a hero figure in my life. Man, raised four incredible boys, married to my mom for 51 years before he passed on to be with the Lord, and always demonstrated to me what it was to be a godly person. And so I tried to mimic that. But beyond that, I also had some superheroes in my life that came from TV shows. Come on, somebody, right? And, you know, today, like, you know, they're making all of these superhero movies and shows based off of old comic books. How many of you guys loved comic books when you were little and you read those comic books and now the shows are coming out and it's just awesome. You get to watch them. Well, there was one that I don't know if it was ever a comic book. It actually didn't last that long, but it's one that I watched when I was little. We can pull that up. This is it right here. Come on. The Greatest American Hero. How many of you guys watched that when you were little? Anybody at all? Thank you. All right. I was about 6, 7 years old when the show first came out, and I used to watch this with my family, and I thought it was absolutely amazing. And one thing I absolutely loved about it was the fact that it was just this ordinary, a little bit geeky teacher that gets, I think, visited by aliens, and he puts on a suit, and all of a sudden he has superpowers. Come on. Who wouldn't love that, right? Like, it speaks to everybody. Especially the alien part. I don't know. It just speaks to everybody. Like, I can be anything. I find this suit, I put it on, and I went from being an ordinary person to teacher, and now I can do stuff, and I have superpowers, and I can fly. And I remember at the age of 7, now the show only lasted like 3 years. I don't know if back then that was good, or if it was that cheesy, they just removed it from the air, all right? But nonetheless, I watched it, and I loved it. I wanted to be that guy, the fro and everything. Come on, somebody. Oh, you put it back up. Put it back up. Where's it at? The fro. Look at that. It is awesome. I wanted to be that dude, right? I wanted to be the greatest American hero. And I remember thinking that I am that hero. And so I'm going to fly. And I'm about 7 years old. And so I go out. We had a big tree in the front yard. And it would drop leaves. And so it was fall time. And so even though I believed internally that, man, I can do this. I can fly. I can be that guy. I, you know, used a little bit of wisdom and piled up some leaves down below. Come on, somebody. I remember piling up those leaves and climbing up that tree, and I'm like, I'm going to fly. And the theme song was playing over and over in my mind. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. Come on, you know it, right? Those that saw the show, right? And so it's just playing over and over in my mind as I climb that tree, and I'm singing it to myself, and it was like there was a chorus of angels all around me. And I get on that limb, and I take that leap. Believe it or not, bam! Some of you are like, did it work? No, it didn't work. I hit the ground, right? And though, can I be honest with you? Those leaves are not as soft as they look, all right? Like, they just squished all the way to the ground. And there I was, and I learned something at the age of 7. I learned that I cannot be everything I want to be. I can't be what I think I want to be. I learned something at the age of 7 that I couldn't be that superhero. No matter how much I willed it, no matter how much I wanted it, no matter how much I desired it, there was something missing. It's superpowers. And I learned something. I can't be what I want to be. I can only be what God made me to be. I can only be what God made me to be. And God used that circumstance at the age of 7 to show me that. Okay. I can only be what God made me to be. But here's the thing. Being who God made me to be is actually a super great thing. And the quicker we begin to understand that and identify that and know who God created us to be, man, the more happy life is. It really is. Yeah, sure, I know that immediately at the age of 7, I was a little bit crushed, right? Walking away like, well, I can't fly. What do I do now? Well, I guess I'll just be the youngest of 4. Great. No superpowers. But God used that in my life to begin to teach me something, that it's better to be who God created me to be than it is to be something I was never intended to be. And I think there's so many of us sometimes that we do that. We try to be something we're not. And really what we become is a fake version of ourselves. And let's be honest, nobody likes the off-brand of anything. Right? You know? You go to the store and you really like that and want that, but the off-brand is so much cheaper. And you get it and you're like, why did I buy that? Right? Nobody likes the fake version. And so we're on this journey to discover, God, who am I? And where do I fit in? And why am I here? And Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and he says, guys, man, you got to have your eyes opened up. You got to be enlightened. You got to know what is the hope of his calling. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. Man, just hold on. I know right now you're walking through some stuff and it doesn't feel like it. I know that you're dealing with some stuff and there may be even some uncertainty, but listen to me now. If you just hold on, he will take the good, the bad, the ugly, the uncertainty, the things that have happened, and he will somehow paint a beautiful picture for your life. But please understand, and now listen to me, if there's children sitting here, I don't mean to crush your hopes and dreams. But listen to me. The honest truth is, we cannot be anything we want to be. We can only be who God created us and made us to be. But this is a great life lesson. Whether it comes through, when we look at just the what Paul was originally talking about salvation by grace and grace alone. Right? We're saved by grace through faith. Jesus did this work. And now that he did this work, man, how do we walk that out? And we'll experience some obstacles. I wrote some down here. Obstacles that get in the way of us living and expressing righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Why did I put that one? Because Romans 10:17 tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right? The kingdom of God, what is that? Well, the kingdom of God is now living inside of us and being expressed through us. And so there's obstacles that get in the way and we're not able to do that. But then there's opportunities to express the love, the mercy, and the grace of God. Listen to this now, to others. Now listen to it, through what I love to do and what I care about. That man, once again, we talked about a couple weeks ago, the way God has made us, man, the ideas we have, the things we love, and how we express ourselves, that God wants to use the person of who you are to express his love, grace, mercy to other people. And we embrace that, and it begins to flow through us. But as we're doing that, we're pursuing other things, right? And it's okay. We're pursuing other things. We're identifying what things do I love. And what do I care about? And here's why that's so vitally important. Because if you are not enjoying life, if you are not experiencing joy in life, it is really hard to bring joy to other people. Right? I mean, just go to the DMV. Like sometimes I'm like, excuse me? I had a really good experience actually the last time I was there. But I went in with the right attitude. I was like, man, I'm going to go. And the person I connect with, they're going to have a smile on their face. And they're going to be joyful. Yeah. And I came in just with a beaming smile. And she was like, well, hi. And I'm like, well, hello. How was your day? Well, great. You know, it was just. But, you know, there's those people you encounter. It's like, do you like what you do? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And it just can kind of change your whole mood. Like if you're at a restaurant, it's like, does this person even want to be serving me food? I don't even know if I want them serving me food, right? It's hard to bring joy if you're not experiencing joy. And that's why it's so important to be enjoying the life that God has given you. Listen to Ecclesiastes 3, 12 to 13. Actually, I didn't write it down. I'll just let you write it down. You can read it later. I'll give you the context. It talks about that we should be enjoying the things that we do. That we enjoy, like the work we do. Like, enjoy it. And bring joy to other people. But understand this now. I cannot be anything I want to be. Ben, why do you keep bringing that up? What are you talking about? Let me put it to you this way. I love basketball. I love playing basketball. I still play today. At least I think I play. I feel like I play. The other guys I play with, they're like, "Man, you're getting old." But man, I've been playing since a young age. Like, since I was like 5, man, I loved it. And I would give myself, I'd go out and shoot hoops all day long. And man, I just enjoyed playing basketball. And I'll never forget, man, my first team. And man, getting on that team and playing and just falling more in love with it. And then playing middle school, got on a team. And I was really good. 8th grade, I was really good. Yeah, the height helped, right? Because speed slows down. Height never shrinks. Come on, somebody. All the little guys super quick running around, but by the second half, I'm still the same height, but you're a lot slower. Come on, somebody. Right? And so I was good at basketball. I enjoy basketball. I'll be playing. And then something happened between my 8th and 9th grade year. I grew through like 3 inches over the summer, and that was really painful. Now, I know that some of you don't even know what that's like, okay? I hate you. All right. But it was super painful. And I remember getting into 9th grade year, and now I was really horrible at basketball because I was like tripping over my own feet. Like, I would literally stand up, you know, from the desk, and I'd be like, you know? It was awkward, right? I'd go on the court, and I'd be tripping over my feet. I was like, man, I was so, and now I went from being really good to not so good. Now, listen to me. When I'm in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, because I realized I can no longer be a superhero, tried that one, fell out of the tree. So I went on to my next dream. I'm going to the NBA. Come on, somebody. And when I'm in 8th grade, I am dominating. I'm going to the NBA. I get to 9th grade, I'm tripping all over myself. I'm like, my dreams are crushed. But then all of a sudden, my body caught up to my height, and I'm like, my sophomore year, I am starting on the varsity team sophomore year, and I'm like, I'm going to the NBA. Then I graduate, and I get to college, and I'm like, there is no way I'm going to the NBA. I got to college, and I realized, like, I am one of thousands. And I'm like, the point guard is taller than me. How is that possible? It was frustrating. I'm like, okay, well, there goes my dreams again. I guess I'm actually going to have to pass my classes in college. Come on, somebody. Right? Now, I had some opportunities rise up. I was in college playing with a guy that was from Australia, and he was actually talking to the Australian national team about getting me on the team. And I'm like, I'll play overseas. That's awesome. Australia, okay. Right? And then I looked and saw how much they make. I'm like, I can work at Starbucks and make that much. Right? Like, that's not the NBA. But you know what? I began to realize, and God really used that as another encounter in my life as I was pursuing this stuff. God just showed me, like, Ben, look, I have a plan for your life. You can still enjoy those activities and enjoy that stuff, but you need to have your eyes opened up, and you need to see the plan that I have for you. You need to see the plan that I have for you. Man, time is flying. Can we slow the time down? I was so proud this summer, and I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this story. I probably should have asked her. I need to get in a better habit of that. Sorry, Cara. It's my oldest daughter. And I was so proud this summer. My daughter, who has been dancing since she was like in preschool, and she loves to dance, man, and she still loves to dance, but she loved to dance, and she had this, you know, dream, and I'm going to get on point. And a couple years ago, she hit that, and she got on point. And then she's going to like 4 days a week. She's going to the studio doing dance, sometimes 2 classes a day, and she's just in this thing. And the instructors are coming to her saying, hey, you need to do more. And so you can go do this and go do that. And so she's looking at all these opportunities. Well, at camp this summer, and she shared this at youth last month. At camp this summer, she had an encounter with God. Really what happened was what Paul is talking about in Ephesians. Her eyes were opened up. She was enlightened. And God began to show her future. And I remember she was so excited. I think it was the last night of camp. She came and she said, Dad, I need to share with you what God showed me. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, God showed me that I've been finding my identity and my purpose in dance. And I realized that if I want to go to the next level and I want to do something with it, that I'm going to have to literally take more and more classes. But God showed me that that is not my identity and that's not my purpose in life. God showed me what he wants me to do. And I'm like sitting on the edge of my seat. She's a good speaker like her dad. Amen. All right. So she had me on the edge of my seat, and I'm like, what? And I'm leaning in. She goes, Dad, God showed me I'm to be a youth pastor. And I'm like, yeah. Now listen, she could have said anything. She could have said, God showed me I'm to be a businesswoman. I would have celebrated that, because here's what I'm celebrating. The fact that God showed up and began to speak to her and began to show her, this is what I have for your life. And she had enough maturity to come and say, I need to put dance on pause. I still love it. I still enjoy it. It's still a passion of mine. But listen, Dad, I don't want to do 4 days a week. I don't want to do 5 days. I don't want to do 3 days a week. I'll do it for fun. But I want to begin to pursue what God showed me. I was like, wow. How many of us need that right now in our life? How many of us need that right now in our life? So let me just give you a couple of things real quickly, and then we'll bring it to a close. To have our eyes enlightened requires, number one, you ready for it? Honesty. Honesty. To have our eyes enlightened requires us to be honest. We need to take a self-assessment. And we need to do this often. We need to sit back and we need to assess our life and ask ourselves, you know, what am I doing right now that I shouldn't be doing? Or in your notes, I think I put it this way. What are the things I'm doing that are limiting God's best for my life? What am I doing right now that is limiting God's best for my life? Those are some tough questions to ask. But we need to get honest and we need to do a self-evaluation. And we need to self-assess. What are the things I'm doing that I do not want to be doing or are not life-giving? That aren't furthering the kingdom of God in me, that aren't furthering the kingdom of God in others, that I'm not happy and joyful about. Like what things do I just need to do? I'm not going to do that anymore. Now listen to me, okay? I am not saying that if you don't enjoy your job that you go and quit tomorrow, okay? I don't want anybody walking up to their boss and say, yo, I quit. Why? Pastor told me on Sunday I could. Not what I'm saying, okay? But what I am saying, if you do an honest assessment, you're like, man, this job just drags me down. And like, I don't feel any joy and any passion in it. And I just like, now I don't even feel like I can function. Like, I'm just so drained by the time I get home. What I am saying then is find another career and swap it. Find something else and do that. Okay? I'm not advocating that you quit your job and move to the beach and live on the beach with no income. Although we are in San Diego and it's a beautiful beach and it's warm. Right? But what things are just dragging you down? I mean, do an honest assessment. I do this with my daughters, not so much anymore, because as you can tell, Kara's at camp. God speaks to her. She can, at that age now, she can self-evaluate. This is what I need to do. I need to push pause on that and focus on these things and pursue this and allow God's grace to shine through me. But when they're younger, you help them do the assessment, right? And I'll never forget, like when my daughters were younger, maybe 4 and 6, 3 and 5. And I think what happened was that one of them was at preschool and they brought a tumbling instructor in. What is tumbling? And there's a mat and they tumble across it. Okay. Self-explanatory, I guess. It's tumbling class. But I'll never forget them coming home like, Dad, we know what we want to do. And I'm like, what? Like, we want to be gymnasts. I'm like, really? Yes. Why? Because we did tumbling today and we're awesome at it. I'm like, cool. I was like, all right. I was like, girls, hold on a second. Sit right here on the couch. Look at your dad. Yeah? What do you see? Dad, you're super tall. I'm like, yeah. Look at your mom. She's not quite as tall as you, Dad, but she's tall for a woman. Yeah. Girls, you're going to be tall. What does that mean? It means you're not going to be gymnasts. Come on, somebody. Right? I wanted to help them, you know, be just some honest self-assessment there. Like, look, maybe you can be the first really tall gymnast, but probably not, okay? All right? We need to do that in our life. Be honest. Do some self-assessment. Is this really what God has for me? Is this really bringing joy? Is this really bringing life to other people? Do a self-assessment. Here's where you could start. How's your heart? How's your emotions? Do some self-assessment. Listen, we need to stop trying to be something we are not meant to be. Stop trying to be something we're not meant to be. Embrace who you are. Embrace who God created you to be. But here's what happens so oftentimes if we're not careful. Is too oftentimes we use the things in our life and the people in our life to get the life we think we want. We use this, okay, this is what I have, that's what I want. But God's saying, no, this is what you have. Are you with me this morning? And we just need to be faithful with where we're at. Be faithful with where we're at. Embrace who you are. If you are a stay-at-home mom, embrace it. Love it. Love the season. My wife will tell you still today that one of her biggest regrets in life, and she's shared this publicly so I can share it, is she feels like there was a season of her life when she was raising our daughters, our youngest one particularly, that she missed out on because she was so focused on what was on the other side and that she missed some of those moments with when they were younger. Embrace where you're at. Honesty. Honesty. Do some self-assessment. Here's another thing you need. Anybody getting anything out of this today? Here's another thing. Number two, to have our eyes enlightened requires humility. 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 Here's my definition of humility: having an accurate estimation of yourself. Simply, just have an accurate estimation of yourself. I had to do that personally. When it came, obviously, when I was 7 and I jumped out of the tree and couldn't fly, I realized I had to do an accurate estimation. I can't fly. I will not be the hero with the afro. But you know what? The same thing happened in basketball. When I got to college, I had to do an accurate estimation of myself. Like, I was phenomenal in high school. And if I'm going to be really honest with you, when I got to college with all these other players, I was average. And that's not a bad thing. That's not me being negative. That's me just saying, you know what? I'm not where they're at. And honestly, I had to do a deeper assessment and say, no matter how hard I work or try, I will probably never be that good. Listen, if all of a sudden I have this crazy idea that I'm going to be the point guard for the Warriors, I'm going to take over Steph Curry's job. I'll be honest with you, no matter how hard I work or how hard I try, I will never be there. And somebody needs to hear that, because here's the lie we feed ourselves because it's been fed to us. And I know right now that I'm stepping on somebody's toes, but I'm willing to step. Because the lie we've been fed and the lie we feed ourselves is that if I work hard enough, if I pray enough, if I try enough, if I take enough educational classes, if I give myself enough to this, then I can be whatever I want to be. And that is simply not true. Oh, it got quiet. I can only be who God created me to be. And see, we view our life, here's how we view our life like a car full of gas. And as long as the car has a tank of gas, man, I can drive myself wherever I want to go. Nothing's going to get in the way. And here's the great thing. If it starts running out of gas, I just stop at the gas station, put some more gas in it, and I'm on my way again. We think we can go wherever we want. If we just keep enough fuel in our lives, man, we can get there one day. But you know what? That's not the truth. Life is not like a car. Life is more like a sailboat. Life is more like a sailboat. And our focus needs to be on building the sail and creating the sail and making the sail. And it can be a big one. It can be a small one, a skinny one, a fat one, whatever you like. But we focus on that sail, but that boat is not going anywhere until the wind begins to hit it and begins to move it. And the reality is our life is not going to move in the direction it's supposed to move without the presence of God and the wind of the Holy Spirit. We need to focus on the process and allow God to breathe life on it to begin to get to the product. That's the way life is. And if we would humble ourselves, we could understand this principle. But man, doing self-assessments and all that stuff, that's hard. How do I get to this place? I think I've got some blanks here for you. We need to have an accurate estimation of ourselves and our lives. And the greatest way we can do that is by inviting God in and saying, Lord, will you search me? Psalm 139, we've been going there a lot over this series. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. This is the same passage that we've preached out of over the course of this Wonder Life series that talks about I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God, you created me this way. And at some point in the scripture here now, he gets here and he's like, you know, looking probably at his life. He's like, you know, God, I need you to search me. I need you to search me. Man, this point of humility. But you know what? I realized something. We are horrible assessors of ourselves. We really are. We're really good at assessing other people. Like we know, like I know what's going on. I know what your problem is. But when it comes to us, we're really bad at it. Matter of fact, when it comes to other people, we can assess them so quickly, and it's always an internal issue. Oh, you know what their problem is? They got pride. Man, they are so arrogant, right? Or maybe it's just me. I don't know. But when we assess other people, we so often pinpoint it to internal things. But when it comes to assessment of ourselves, it always seems to be external things. Oh man, if I hadn't been raised that way, if I didn't grow up in that family, well, if I had these opportunities, well, are you with me? We're horrible at assessing ourselves. We need the presence of God to come in and assess us. We are so horrible at that now with millennials. Have any millennials in here? You don't know if you are. You're like, nah. I remember asking the first service, people looking around like, am I in a millennial? Am I in a Y or an X or a baby boomer? What am I? You know, nobody knows. Millennials. Yeah. Amen to that, Pastor. I have no clue who I am and why I'm here. That's why I'm at this series. A poll was done amongst millennials, and 1 in 4, 25%, believe that they will be famous someday. And there's one of the 25%. No, just kidding. Right? Like, they are going to be either YouTube famous but they're going to be famous. Like, they believe that. And here's the problem, is it begins to skew things that literally a generation is looking for fame. They're looking for notoriety. They're looking to be noticed. Really, it's the search for who am I and where do I fit in and what's the plan? But they literally believe that they are going to be famous. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not call you to be famous. He did not create you to be famous. He called you to be faithful, with who you are and where you're at in your season of life. As a matter of fact, the last time I checked, the Bible says if you are faithful with a little where you're at right now, God will begin to give you more. But there is this epidemic that has crept into our society and into the churches that says, come on, you got to build something for yourself. You got to be noticed. You got to be famous. But that is not what God called us to be. He called us to be faithful. So if you're a stay-at-home mom, be the best stay-at-home mom you can be. Be faithful. Man, what is wrong with being faithful to raise your family and faithful to raise your kids and faithful to teach them about God and get them to church? What are we pursuing that is taking us away from who God originally intended us to be? We got to be faithful. Be faithful with where you're at. Be faithful with what God has given you. And watch and see what He will do in your life. Lastly, and I'll have the worship team come up. Lastly, first, we got to be honest. Do an honest assessment. Second, we got to have some humility. And then lastly, we need some help. We need some help. If we're going to have our eyes enlightened, we're going to need some help. I am so thankful for the men and women of God that He has put around me. I'm so thankful. So thankful for these people because they help me. Because as I mentioned earlier, we are the worst self-assessors. As a matter of fact, the reality is that most of us will either rate ourselves too high, think too high of ourselves, or rate ourselves too low. We're either too hard on ourselves, or we're just like, I'm the best thing ever. You know what we need? We need help. We need people around us. Not critics. But listen, the reality is we don't need more critics. We need coaches. We need spiritual fathers and mothers in our life that care about the purpose and the destiny of God in us, that will come alongside and say, you know what? You're doing really good, but you need to do something here. Because here's the reality. We all have blind spots. And there's a reason why they're called blind spots. You can't see them. And every single one of us has them. But I've noticed something. because of the epidemic in our culture to be noticed, to be famous, we surround ourselves with cheerleaders rather than coaches. And listen to me, cheerleaders are great. Cheerleaders are awesome because they do their cheer whether you're up or down. Matter of fact, sometimes they seem to cheer more when you're down. Like, come on, guys, we need to cheer more because they're losing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I love cheer. Let's get them in our life. Yes, we want people. But you know what we need? We need some coaches. We need some spiritual moms and dads that'll come alongside and say, man, you're doing good. We're down a little bit. But guess what? If we just tweak something here and tweak something there, man, we're going to see the purposes of God fulfilled in our life. We need help because life is not a problem ultimately to be solved, but an experience to be lived. And the coaches in your life, the good ones, they care about the process. They care about the experience. And if we focus there, the product's in God's hands. Today, I believe that Ephesians 1 speaks to us. It's time for our eyes to be enlightened so that we can begin to do some honest assessments, that we can begin to walk in some great humility and surround ourselves with some help. Eyes be opened up. You know the greatest way to get help in your life? Join a small group. Get plugged into a group. People around you that care about you, that love you, that will speak into your life so that you can attain God's best. Lord, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. God, I pray that we would take, Lord, this idea this week to our small group, and we would wrestle through it with one another. God, we would wrestle through our obstacles and our opportunities and ultimately begin to get to the place that you want us to be, to live the life, to embrace the things that you want us to embrace so that your kingdom would be glorified and edified in and through our lives. Hallelujah. Do me a favor, church, just stand to your feet as we conclude this service.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.